Welcome back. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you, being joined now by that dude here on 1250 AM. The Fan. He is Ryan Wood, the award-winning Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Yesterday on the Green Bay football postgame show, driven by Young Express, I vented about quite a few things. I guess the first thing that I vented about more so than anything else was the lack of adjustment, seemingly, it felt like, from Jeff Hafley there in the first half before he decided that he was going to blitz and start bringing some pressure. What were your thoughts on what you saw?
Well, Sparky, first of all, I'm glad that you brought me on today, because when you need to vent, you know that I'm your soothsayer.
Yes.
So I'm here for you.
Thank
in this
you.
Way. You know, I understand the frustration there, because it was very clear Jeff Hafley thought that his much heralded defensive line, his defensive front, could just get home on Sam Darnold with four, which they've done in the past with this group, this personality. He very much believed and was convicted in that being the case, and it just wasn't. I give Jeff Hafley credit for actually making an in-game adjustment, because I'm old enough to remember Joe Barry. Like, when's the last time we saw Joe Barry actually dial up a slot corner blitz at the right time? We never saw that.
But that can't be the standard. But that can't be the standard we hold him to, is Joe Barry, for God's sake.
I understand, but like, it just was like, okay, second half he came out and he realized, you know what? Not getting home with four, let's scrap that plan and actually blitz. And he did. Could it have been sooner? Could it have been after a quarter? Maybe. Because they weren't getting anything in the first half, and that was a big problem. We don't have Jaire Alexander on the field. But he adjusted. I mean, it was a lot better than a Joe Barry game plan,
I guess. But if we go back to that defensive line, you're paying a lot of money to Rashawn Gary. Dude's got home once. Mm-hmm. Paying a lot of money, Kenny Clark. He hasn't really been that dude to this point. I know Preston Smith is older, but he had a really good year last year, and it doesn't appear we're going to go down that same path again. I know it's early. It's only 4 weeks, Sparky, where there's a lot of game to go, but you cannot play the defense he wants to play if your front four can't get home.
It is early, but I think that's fair, Sparky. I put it more on your players got to make plays. I don't fault Jeff Hafley for thinking that Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark and Devontae White, before he went out with the injury, and Preston Smith, could get home. Lucas Van Ness, like, these guys have to make the plays. They have to get to the quarterback for this game to be the best it can be. He adjusted, but the players got to make plays. They were not making near enough plays in the defensive front in the pass rush game yesterday.
Time with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Let's talk about cornerback play. No Jaire Alexander. That was unexpected. Obviously, that happened at the end of the week in practice. No Carrington Valentine. That was expected. And you go into the season thinking you got a lot of great depth, I guess, to a certain degree. Do they have as much depth as we originally thought?
I think when they're not playing against Justin Jefferson, sure. I mean, whatever team, whatever secondary you are, you have to go against Justin Jefferson without your top guys. That's going to be a long day at the office, and it certainly was. And also give Sam Darnold credit. I mean, it reminds me so much of Brock Purdy in San Francisco, right? He's not the most talented guy, but he doesn't lack for talent either. He's a talented guy. And he's just got so many playmakers around him. He just spreads the ball out and plays quarterback. And he's been doing that at a high level this season. And he did that against the Packers. You know, the game plan was very sound. The way they used Aaron Jones, especially close to the goal line, is mostly a decoy, and rifting plays off that and kind of going in the opposite direction to score touchdowns from Aaron Jones. Like, it was a really – they out-game planned the Packers. You can put that on Jeff Hafley. I think also there's a – Kevin O'Connell realized going into this game that this is a game played amongst humans and that personal pride is a real thing. It was very clear that the Packers defense did not want to let Aaron Jones Lambeau leap in their house. That was very much, you could just tell by the way that he was being followed throughout, especially when they got close to the goal line throughout that game. And Kevin O'Connell, he maximized that. He did that very well. As far as the back end, look, it's depth versus Justin Jefferson. They played very well in that situation late last season in Minnesota. They also were playing Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins, not exactly your Sam Darnold variety of quarterback. So I think it went about as expected. There were coverage breakdowns that they've got to get fixed. There were some busted coverages, which don't help when you're not getting home with the pass rush. I don't expect that to be a long-term issue, because what's the silver lining of this entire season so far? This is a secondary that takes the ball away.
True.
They've got 8 picks now.
Yep.
They already in 4 games have more picks than they had all of last season. That I think that this secondary is going to make enough plays to maybe cover up some sins, because when you take the football away, it shields a lot of mistakes.
It sure does.
And I think that that's what they do.
Yeah, you're right about that. On the offensive side of the ball, yes, Jordan Love threw for like 389 yards. Yes, he threw a bunch of touchdowns. Yes, he threw a bunch of picks. But the main thing from this was he just wasn't looking like Jordan Love, throwing behind guys, throwing at guys' feet. Inaccuracy was the story of the day for me for Jordan Love.
I'm surprised they didn't bring that Brett Favre jersey out with him to the field and just play with that, because it looked very Favrean, did it not? And now Favre won more than he lost, and it was a loss at the end of the day. So it's not the diss on Brett Favre, but some of these picks, Sparky, were just like, what's he seeing there? Or maybe what's he not seeing there, and how is he not seeing it? You don't throw that. The first pick to Christian Watson, like, it was blanketed. There was absolutely no business throwing that ball. I get that, late in the game you're avoiding a sack, but don't just throw the ball up when you're trying to score. You're in plus field position. Like, you try to live for another play, and then I still don't know that second pick that he threw. I don't know if it was intended for Luke Musgrave or Romeo Doubs. I mean, it could have been caught by either. But it's a conundrum, because the one thing that we absolutely saw Jordan Love do for 2 months last season, the final back half of the year, was take care of the football. He was darn near perfect at taking care of the football. San Francisco happened. It didn't end on a good note, and it just kind of rolled into the start of the season. Now, even the pick that he threw against Philadelphia in the opener, no business making that throw with Luke Musgrave covered. It just the thing that Malik Willis did so much better in those two games that he started than Jordan Love, no turnovers.
Right.
That's job number one for a quarterback. No one's going to say Malik Willis is more talented than Jordan Love. That doesn't have the same potential upside as Jordan Love by far. But he outplayed Jordan Love because he took care of the football. Jordan Love's got to clean that up.
Talking with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. He wins awards. You should definitely be following him at this point. Ryan, when we talk about the wide receivers coming into this year, it was, well, they don't have a true number one wide receiver. They're going to just share the wealth and so forth. And that very well may be. But Christian Watson goes down with what appears to be a high ankle sprain. That's fine. But Wicks with 13 targets, and yes, he dropped some balls that were at his shoelaces, and he dropped some balls that were thrown behind him and so forth. I get it. But that is a lot of targets. That is a number one type wide receiver target ratio when you start looking at things. My question is, do you think this turns into be a consistent thing?
No. I think this is a revolving door throughout the season. And I had a feeling coming into this game, if it followed suit, week one was Jaden Reed, week two was Romeo Doubs, week three was Christian Watson, week four is going to be Dontavian Wicks, just because you can't cover everyone if you're a secondary. And that's the one guy that hadn't gone off this season. And he still didn't go off. He's got to figure out these drops. These drops are just – but you also see, like, the fourth and eight that he dropped that would have been a touchdown, a 30-some-odd yard touchdown. You saw the very next play, on the first play of the next drive, they throw a little bubble screen to Dontavian Wicks, get him an easy completion. They go right back to him intentionally, because he also has 3 touchdown catches now in the season. Only Justin Jefferson and Marvin Harrison Jr. in the NFL have more. Like, this is a guy that his playmaking they need to be the best version of themselves. That said, Sparky, as number one receivers go, it is early. But Jaden Reed sure looks like a number one receiver when he's on the field with Jordan Love. There's something special going on between those two. Jaden Reed, 5th in the league going into week 5 in receiving yards. But the two games that he's had with Jordan Love this season, he's averaging 138.5 yards in those two games. He had 139 against the Vikings, 138 against the Eagles. I don't do math well, but that's 138.5. That's 15 yards more per game than any other receiver, right?
Yeah.
So there's something special cooking there. I don't know how Jaden Reed continues to get this wide open. That's going to have to change, you would think. But I think that those two are on a real special plane at the moment.
What about the running game? You know, at one point there in the first half, I don't know if it was 14-0, whatever, they just quit running the football. It was just pass, 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 pass. And I don't care what offensive line you are, that puts your offensive line in dire straits when everybody can just pin their ears back and go. That was my big criticism there towards the end of the first half, was they just gave up running the football. Now, in the second half, they got back to running the football, which I thought was well needed. And you see the LaFleur do this from time to time, regardless if they're down or if they're up or whatever. He just forgets about running the football for two or three series in a row, seemingly every game, when he has Jordan Love. Now, he wasn't going to forget it with Malik Willis. But when he has somebody that can throw the football, he tends just to forget to hand it off.
Okay, so now you've triggered me.
Yes.
This is where you might need to talk me down a little bit. It's not just that he forgot the run, which, okay, I understand it was a big early hole, whatever. There was a lot of time left in that game. And what did you just learn the last 2 weeks? You can run the football, yep, even when they know it's coming, and balance is the quarterback's best friend. And, hey, by the way, your quarterback's throwing to the other team. He might help him out by running the ball. That's one thing. But even worse, how in the hell does he forget that Josh Jacobs is on his sideline?
Yep.
Like, how does he forget that? Like, there's never a world that exists where this Packers offense should have Josh Jacobs with 9 carries and Emmanuel Wilson with 8. That's just absurd. It's asinine. And then furthermore, when Josh Jacobs is on the field, you have one of the most well-completed, versatile, sound running backs in the game. And then you have Emmanuel Wilson, who's in the second year as a undrafted backup. And let's be very clear, Emmanuel Wilson is very good for a running back too. Certainly better than A.J. Dillon.
Yes.
I absolutely have no issue with him being part of that game plan. He's got some pop. It's a good change of pace. But when you have Josh Jacobs on the field, good things are going to happen. When you don't have him on the field, you're taking a gamble. And then all of a sudden, it's 3rd and 1, and Emmanuel Wilson has a false start. It's now 3rd and 6. All of a sudden, you have Emmanuel Wilson fail to pick up an outside stunt on 2nd and 8, and you give up a sack, and it's 3rd and 18. These are plays you expect Josh Jacobs to make. It's not just what he does with the ball in his hands, but you brought Josh Jacobs in here, made him the 5th highest paid running back in the league, and you didn't do that so that he could have an even split of the carries. You got to give him the football. The best version of this Packers offense includes Josh Jacobs getting at least 15 carries a game, because that's balance.
Last one. What happens at kicker? I mean, LaFleur after the game said, oh, you know, I still have confidence in Narvison. But this is my thing, Ryan. When they decided to go away from Carlson and go away from Joseph, and then you go with a guy that's never kicked in Lambeau ever and decide he's going to learn on the job, you're going to have days like this. The wind's blowing one way looking at the flags, but inside the bowl, it's not the same, and he couldn't figure it out. And on top of that, I'm listening to the broadcast team going, well, he wasn't hitting him in pregame either, so this shouldn't be that much of a surprise. I was ready to lose my mind. I literally am at this point right now. How about you teach Whelan how to kick field goals, and we'll take with whatever comes with it the rest of the year. Use the other roster spot for another player to help out in the secondary or offensive line or whatever, and let's just move forward. Because I've about had my fill of this whole kicker thing.
I mean, it probably couldn't be much worse with Daniel Whelan inside 50 yards. I don't know, you know, outside 50 yards. Maybe you have that short range and long range kicker. This is where neither you nor I are going to be able to help each other on this one, because I've been saying it for weeks, Sparky. You cannot live in this league missing kicks under 50 yards every week. You cannot do it. It's a lot of weeks. It won't hurt you, right? But then you'll lose by 2 at home to a divisional opponent, divisional rival, in a game that you left 6 points on the board, missed kicks under 50 yards, which is what happened yesterday. It's just, look, they're saying they have confidence in him because what else are you going to do as the calendar goes to October? There's not – the market at any position, including kicker, is not flush with great options this time of year. So I just don't know what else they can do. But what do they have confidence in? He's missing kicks every week. I get that it was a clean stat sheet in Tennessee, but he missed the 48-yarder that was negated by the defensive penalty. Like, every single week, Braden Narvison's missed a kick that he should make. And it will kill you in this league if that continues. How do we know that? Because we watched the 2023 season.
That's right.
It's the same thing. So you cut a guy who's missing kicks every week. You bring in a guy who's who's missing kicks every week, and you feel confidence in this new. I don't see it. I just don't see it, Sparky.
I agree with you. He is Ryan Wood. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Thank you so much, Ryan Wood. We'll talk as we go through the season.
I don't know how much I actually soothsayed today for you, but I hope it helps.
It all helps. Everything helps. We all have to vent a little bit today, I think, Ryan.
All right, take care.